Unrest in the Middle East. The economic crisis in Europe. Iran threatens Israel. The moral decay of America. What are the prophetic trends, and why is prophecy important? Stephen LeBlanc discusses these issues and the events surrounding the return of Jesus Christ. And now for World Watch Today, Stephen LeBlanc.
Italy is in the process of shaking Europe. A long-drawn political and economic crisis is coming to a head in Italy. This is important. Just recently in Italy, voters said no to a referendum on government reforms. And the vote actually was more broadly viewed as a referendum on Prime Minister Matteo Renzi's administration of the country. He has since tendered his resignation. But the Prime Minister of Italy resigning is not the end of political upheaval in Italy. It is just the beginning. And the shockwaves will be strongly felt in Berlin and throughout the Eurozone. This no vote in Italy, gathered around a right-wing party in Italy known as the Five Star Movement. It's a relatively new party. And this Five Star Movement, which is gaining popularity in Italy, this party is very anti-European Union. It's definitely anti-euro, meaning anti the European currency, the euro. It's also anti-Muslim. Now, what happened in Italy was significant. And the result of Italy's referendum means three things. First of all, it means that we continue to witness the slow decline of the European Union. It doesn't look like the European Union is going to survive as we see it in its current configuration. So eventually, this union of nations, down to 27 nations now because Britain has chosen to leave the union, we believe the European Union over the next few years will eventually fragment. It's going to fall apart. But out of that fragmentation will arise a new European system, in essence, a system that reconfigures or reboots. And that system will eventually become very powerful. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls Europe, this end-time European system, the Bible calls it a beast-like system because it's going to be very aggressive, extremely wealthy, and it will become very violent. And believe it or not, eventually in Europe, you're going to see a great religious revival in Europe. You don't see that today. Essentially, in most of Europe, you could say that Christianity is almost dead. Now, there are a few exceptions, the Polish people and some of the Italians are rather fervent, but so many Europeans don't even bother to go to church anymore. But in the future, in the near future, there's going to be a scene in Europe, a Christian leader who will sway millions. Yes, there is going to be, in the near future, a religious revival in Europe. And now back to Italy. The referendum and the vote on the referendum was no. And what this means is that the second point I wanted to bring to your attention, Italy has declared itself in open revolt against both the European Union, and especially it is revolting against German leadership. Germany, or I should say Italy, has become especially hostile to German leadership. And the third point I want to bring to your attention, and again, I realize that most of you have little awareness of what's taking place on the continent of Europe because the American press, the American television stations barely touch on what's taking place in Europe. But I tell you, this referendum in Europe, the voting of no on the referendum is extremely serious. We're talking about Italy. Italy is going through major changes right now, so we're paying attention to Italy. And the third point I wanted to bring to your attention, we're seeing the beginning of a major political shift in the third largest economy in the Eurozone. That's right. Italy is the third largest economy in the Eurozone. And if Italy chooses to leave this European Union, that's going to be devastating. If Italy chooses to leave the EU over the next year or two, there's going to be a wave of panic that runs through the world financial markets. Once again, this will happen if Italy leaves the EU. EU is a reference to the European Union. So now we know that Italy is going to hold elections in 2017. Germany as well holds very important elections in the year 2017. And you have the Netherlands holding very important elections in the year 2017. Also, you have France holding very serious and important elections in the year 2017. Now, it's unclear whether the political establishment in Italy is going to retain control in 2017, or perhaps we're going to see parties like the Five Star Movement or the Northern League Party of Italy. Perhaps the Northern League Party will seize power. So the damage already has been done, and nationalist movements continue to gain steam in Italy, as well as gaining steam in other countries in Europe. Now, remember, both these parties, and I'm talking about the Northern League Party of Italy and the Five Star Movement in Italy. These are popular parties in Italy. They are anti-immigrant, anti-German-led EU parties, and of course, they are anti-Muslim parties. So populism will continue to shape Italian politics no matter who comes to power in 2017. And it's very clear that Italy will not move forward in the same way as it has before. Italy is now facing the 64th change in government in the last 70 years. This is just how unstable Italy is. It has had 64 changes of government in the last 70 years. So the vote in Italy, the result of the referendum, showcases the increasing power of nationalist politics in Europe. Populism is on the rise in Europe. I'll state that again. Take note of this. Populism is on the rise in Europe, and this could be very dangerous. And what is also troublesome is that Italy is in the midst of a banking crisis. Italian banks are being overwhelmed by debt and loans that will never be repaid. And who's going to bail Italy out of the crisis? Will it be Germany? Well, that's yet to be seen. Now, the banking woes are not simply an Italian problem. Remember, we're talking about contagion here, which can be very dangerous. This contagion could spread throughout all the European nations and eventually over into the United States. Remember that Italy is the third largest economy in the Eurozone, and both Germany and France are exposed to troubles in the Italian banking sector. Let me restate just how serious all of this is. Tensions over how to handle the Italian banking crisis are escalating. Italians resent having to yield to the leadership of Chancellor Angela Merkel of Germany. And increasingly, many Italians, they want their own currency back. They view the euro, which they use now, they view this euro currency, a currency that has been imposed upon them by Germany. And they see that the euro has hurt them, and they view it that the euro has helped the German economy, but not the Italian economy. So in essence, you're seeing a major political wave in Italy. More and more Italians, in effect, are saying no to the leadership of Germany. Now, the conundrum here is that Italy needs financial help from the rest of Europe, meaning mostly they need help from Germany. But at the same time, Italy is not willing to submit to the leader of Europe, and I'm talking about Angela Merkel of Germany. Now, let's talk about Europe's rising far-right parties. Europe has been hit hard by a series of problems and challenges. You have the migrant crisis. You have extreme sluggish economic growth on the continent. You have this growing swell of disillusionment with Angela Merkel's leadership of the European Union. So these right-wing parties across Europe have been achieving electoral success in a number of European nations. What I would like to do now is just to briefly discuss these various right-wing parties that are gaining momentum in the various nations across Europe. First of all, we're going to be talking about Germany. Let's talk about the Alternative for Germany party. And this party is relatively young. It was only started 3 years ago, and it served as a protest movement against the euro currency. But recently, the Alternative for Germany party, it recently won up to 25% of the vote in German state elections. And then in September, the party took second place in the legislature in the home state of Chancellor Angela Merkel. Support for the party shot up after the New Year's Eve sexual assaults in Cologne, Germany. And the party, we're talking about the Alternative for Germany party. Now, this party attracts voters who are anti-establishment, anti-Muslim, anti-European Union, and these people are anti-bailing out of weak European banks. They want Angela Merkel out of her leadership role in Europe. The leader of the party, Franka Petri, she's only about 41 years of age. She's the party's leader, and she has said border guards might need to turn guns on anyone crossing a frontier illegally. Now, she was talking about using rubber bullets. Now, the party's policy platform states that Islam does not belong in Germany, and that the party, we're talking about the Alternative for Germany party, this is part of their platform, and the party calls for a ban on the construction of mosques in Germany. Again, we're talking about the rise of popularity of this leader of the Alternative for Germany party, Franka Petri. And then you have the right-wing surge in France. I'm talking about the National Front Party, or Front National. It's a nationalist party in France that uses populist rhetoric to promote its anti-immigration and anti-European Union positions. And if this party comes to power in 2017, it hopes to drastically reduce the number of immigrants allowed into France. And the party was established back in 1972. Its founders and sympathizers included former Nazi collaborators and members of the wartime Vichy regime. Now, the National Front is now led by Marine Le Pen, and she took over from her father, Jean-Marie Le Pen, in 2011. And over the past couple of years, she has successfully softened the party's image. At one time, it was considered an anti-Jewish party. She's tried to erase that image, that it's anti-Jewish. Now, in the first round of voting in regional elections in December, the National Front Party won a plurality of the national vote. And now let's talk about the Netherlands. We're talking about the Party for Freedom in the Netherlands. It's another anti-European Union party. And of course, it is anti-Islam. And it has called for the closing of all Islamic schools in the Netherlands. Now, the Party for Freedom is led by Geert Wilders, a very colorful figure, one of Europe's most prominent far-right politicians. And this particular far-right party has recently surged to the front in national election polls. Now, the book of Revelation chapter 17 tells us that eventually, on the European continent, you're going to see that there will be 10 kings. I'm in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 12, and they will receive authority for 1 hour as kings with an end-time beast dictator. Make sure to order our special CD on the year 2017. Just request 2017, where we discuss various world events and prophecy concerning the year 2017. You can reach us toll-free at 1-877-449-6753. Now, Bible prophecy tells us that at the time of the end, there's going to be a final despotic kingdom. And this kingdom is going to drag the whole world into world war. We believe it's clear from prophecy and history, this final end time kingdom is going to be a European system. It will wield power for a very short time. In effect, it's a type of final end time Roman Empire. And the book of Daniel describes this kingdom in Daniel chapter 2, also in Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 2, it's represented by feet of iron and clay. We're told that the feet and toes of the image that Nebuchadnezzar sees in a dream, that these feet were partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, meaning that the kingdom shall be divided. It will be partly strong and partly fragile. Now, this means it would be made up of people who will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And again, my reference here is Daniel chapter 2, verses 41 through 43. Now, this descriptive of toes of iron mixed with clay, this is an excellent descriptive of what we find in Europe today. Now, the various nations of Europe with their different languages, different cultures, and they have all these different biases on the continent. We see in Europe today, it depicts a geopolitical Babylon. Now, the description of iron and clay fits Europe perfectly. As Europe is known for its ethnic, national, and cultural diversity, remember, and I've stated this fact on the program many times, but it bears repeating, when you take a look at Europe, researchers Pan and Fail, these are famous European researchers, they've counted 87, that's right, 87 distinct peoples of Europe. We're talking about a mass of ethnic diversity in Europe. There are 27 member nations of the European Union, and that European Union recognizes 23 official languages within that confederation called the EU. This is what makes Europe so fascinating. It is so ethnically diverse. Every nation is different. Now, there's going to be a future unified beast system coming up out of Europe, and this multicultural beast of the end time is going to struggle to survive because cultural and ethnic differences will eventually prove to be too complicated. And now back to the subject of populism or the nationalist movements. What's taking place in Europe regarding these nationalist movements? Populism is on the rise in Europe. So let's talk now about the country of Greece, this small but important country that's going to play a pivotal role in 2017. Now, right now, all the eyes of Europe will be upon Germany to see how the leader of Germany, we're talking about Angela Merkel, she leads Germany, how will she handle the re-emerging Greek debt crisis? Before the Italian banking crisis and referendum in Italy, before Brexit, there was Greece. Greece's debt crisis was really the first public crack in the European Union's armor, and a problem that has yet to go away. While Greece is on the periphery of the Union, its problems are hardwired into the entire EU, and those problems are spreading to other nations once again. Now, the problem for Germany as it relates to Greece comes down to this. Germany cannot afford to continue funneling money into these EU nations that need to be bailed out like Greece. Such spending also would not sit well with the public as Germany enters into an election year in 2017. There are major elections in Germany in 2017. And the Germans don't want to hear about giving more and more billions of euros to Greece. But it's not quite as simple as that. At the same time, Berlin, remember Berlin is the capital of Germany, Berlin cannot allow a eurozone economy, speaking of Greece, to completely collapse or leave the monetary union. After all, German exports depend on easy access to European markets, and the departure of a country from the eurozone, even Greece, if it were to depart from the eurozone, this could jeopardize the integrity of the entire European Union. Now, this brings me to the Golden Dawn Party in Greece. We're watching this right-wing party very closely. Why? Why should we be watching what takes place with Golden Dawn within the Greek political system? Now, Golden Dawn is a Greek nationalist party, and it calls for the expulsion of all undocumented immigrants, and it also calls for the country's borders to be protected by landmines. So an increasing number of Greek citizens are fed up with what's taking place in Greece. Remember, Greece has a terrible problem with unemployment. Youth unemployment in Greece stands at over 40%. Many of these people, I'm talking about young people in their 20s and 30s, have not been able to find a job for the past 7 years. So many in Greece are angry, they're discouraged, some are desperate. And that cocktail of emotions is especially dangerous. Therefore, we're watching the rise in Greece of this party called Golden Dawn. Golden Dawn is Greece's neo-Nazi party, and it has the potential to be violent. It holds extreme anti-immigrant views. Golden Dawn favors a defense agreement with Russia, and Golden Dawn says, and they're very outspoken about this, that the euro has turned out to be our destruction. In other words, increasingly you find many people on the continent who want to drop the euro. Now, the Italians do not have their own currency anymore. They use what is called the euro. That's the European Union currency. And so many of these Italians believe it's the use of the euro that has depressed their individual economy. And now let's talk about Jobbik. Jobbik is the party in Hungary. It's a movement in Hungary, and it's growing in its popularity. And remember, we're talking about nationalist movements across the European continent. Populism is on the rise all throughout Europe. This has the potential to be extremely dangerous because people are very angry, and there's a tendency for people to vote for change, and change is not always good. Now to Hungary, we're talking about Jobbik. Jobbik is an anti-immigration populist and economic protectionist party. It is Hungary's third largest party. Its policy platform includes holding a referendum on membership in the European Union. Remember, they're part of the European Union. But if Jobbik were to come to power in Hungary, they would hold a referendum, hoping that Hungarians would vote to leave the European Union. And they also hold the belief, and this is poisonous, they believe that Israel is trying to dominate Hungary and the whole world. Now, this party is especially anti-Jewish. They're quite vocal about it. And now let's quickly talk about Sweden. Sweden has changed dramatically over the past year. Now, the Swedes were very generous. They embraced literally tens of thousands of refugees coming from the Middle East and North Africa. But now many Swedes believe that was a serious mistake. So you have in Sweden, you have a party called the Sweden Democrats. And some polls place them as the most popular party in Sweden today. That's difficult to know for sure because polls can be so inaccurate. Now, Sweden has taken in more refugees per capita than any other nation in Europe. But Sweden has also become Europe's rape capital. Most of the rapes that have taken place over the past couple of years in Sweden were committed by immigrants arriving from North Africa and the Middle East. Now, as I have said, the Swedes are a very generous and a very gentle people. So all of the rapes, the violent crime that is well on the rise in Sweden, and they've seen a rise in crime and violent crime over the past couple of years as a result of these refugees, this has shocked the nation. Many Swedes are now supporting this far-right party in Sweden called the Swedish Democrats. And there are other countries I can mention. I don't have time today to go into their politics, but you have these other European countries, including Finland, Latvia, Lithuania, Norway, and Switzerland. All of these nations are seeing the rise of right-wing parties. So I'm bringing this to your attention, because major changes are soon to take place in Europe. Europe is a continent that is unraveling as old rivalries rise to the surface, as nationalism increases. This is extremely dangerous. Now, Brexit, by Brexit, I mean the British leaving the European Union, Brexit has already led continental Europeans to move ahead with a European army, independent of NATO. Some European leaders see America withdrawing from the world stage. And Europeans have growing concerns about Russia and Islamic terrorism. Now, the European Commission announced just a couple of weeks ago to spend nearly 6 billion euros annually to jointly develop and acquire new military equipment. Now, this is significant because Europe, for the most part, has been relatively peaceful over the past 65 or 70 years. Remember, World War II was devastating to the continent. So Europe has tried to maintain peace. But now Europe views the rest of the world as more threatening. And they believe that they have to rely upon themselves in terms of self-defense. Over the past 40 to 50 years, they were heavily dependent upon the United States for national defense. Now they're looking inward. They're talking about building a more significant, more powerful, more technologically advanced army of their own. Now, this just came out from the leader of the European Commission, President Jean-Claude Juncker, and I quote, he said, "If Europe does not take care of its own security, nobody else will do it for us." He also said that a strong, competitive, and innovative defense industrial base is what Europe needs now. Now, we believe prophecy tells us that Europe will once again become a great military machine. We don't see that today, not yet. But that day is coming soon. And remember, terrorist attacks, the migrant crisis, extreme unemployment issues, Russia's increasing aggression in Eastern Europe. None of these problems are going away. Europeans are becoming more insecure, angrier, and more despondent. Now, the Bible tells us, this is very clear, that the final resurrection of the Roman Empire is going to encapsulate a religious, political, and economic structure, that this great economic system of Europe is actually eulogized in a funeral lamentation found in the book of Revelation chapter 18. And I'm quoting here, Revelation 18, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Now, this great end-time political structure, it's also going to be a great economic power and military power. We're not there yet. It's going to happen, but when it does happen in the near future, this European power is going to turn hostile toward the United States. Now, next month, we're going to be sending out a very special CD where we talk about what is going to take place in the year 2017. We discuss what to watch in Europe, what we need to be watching in the Middle East, what's taking place at the Vatican, what's happening in South Asia, and what's taking place within the nation of China. All of this, as it relates to Bible prophecy, phone us at that toll-free number, request our special CD entitled 2017, as in the year 2017. You can reach us toll-free at 1-877-449-6753. I'm Stephen LeBlanc for World Watch Today.
World Watch Today has been a presentation of the Church of God. To request literature or free audio CD of today's message, phone us toll-free at 1-877-449-6753. That number again is 1-877-449-6753. And don't forget to visit us on the web to view our latest blog on world news and prophecy. Our web address is worldwatchtoday.org. That's worldwatchtoday.org. Thanks for listening.